today on Real Radio.
A man, and wives, you need to understand this. A man, there is a chemical drive that a man has, and there's an intimacy drive that a man has. And a woman has the same thing, but we're different. We are different.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David J., will be answering questions on marital topics that have been discussed in this series, from intimacy and the dangers of pornography to infidelity and the consequences of divorce. And now, here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A studio audience, and we're discussing marriage. We got a lot of questions from these folks, and I'm going to throw them at Pastor Jack and Lisa. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start out with a tough one. A friend I know, but this came from someone in the audience. A friend I know introduced pornography into his wife's and his love life to, quote unquote, keep things exciting and spiced up. What do you think? Pastor Jack, you're up.
Not good. Not good, because first of all, just from the theological side of things, which you may not want to hear this, but it's the truth nonetheless, that is sexual immorality. Somebody might say, but it's in marriage. It spices up our marriage. No, actually, you're actually sowing the seeds of destruction for your marriage. What you want to do, rather, is ask God to give both of you a heart for one another. Ask God to give you eyes for one another. Because listen, play whatever games, or your friend playing whatever games they want to play. The truth of the matter is that the physical relationship between that married couple, they're actually using one another while they have the image of that person in their minds and in their eyes. Maybe a man understands this more than anybody, because men are visually stimulated. A man can be looking at Mount Rushmore or having his eyes closed, and it doesn't matter. Men are visually stimulated. And what you don't want to do is be with your wife with images of another woman in your mind. And you can have your eyes wide open and be seeing another woman. And I guarantee you that's what will happen. Mm-hmm. You want to ask the Lord to spice up your sex life in your marriage. And he invented it. And he will tell you and show you what you should do. And I'm dead serious about this. Christians, don't leave God in the hallway of your house. Mm-hmm. He wants to be in your bedroom. And that's where I believe if the temple had the Holy of Holies in a sacred place, then the Holy of Holies of your house is your bedroom. That's where the nucleus of the family, of the marriage, is kept. That's where the altar burns. And I think that's why many times God views sexual immorality as a form of both, of course, adultery and spiritual adultery, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's a physical union, yes, but it's spiritually charged. So that's.
And I think communication is a big part of that. Often we don't talk about sexual things, even with your spouse. You just don't communicate what is liked or not liked.
I think this is an area, and this is not the time to do such a thing, but it may be, or maybe well past time, where Christian men get together. Maybe, I don't mean just get together. I would like to be, as a pastor, with Christian men, married men, and almost go through step by step, as it were, with the men. Because some men are maybe thinking, you know what? Wow, you know, before I was a Christian, I was having sex all over the place. But now that I'm a Christian, we don't have sex. I mean, I've heard the craziest things. I've heard it from one end to the other about what we do and do, not allowed to, God. And there's just so much taboo and weirdness that the enemy seeks to control these Christian marriages in this area. And that's wrong. I think there needs to be a lot of freedom with the Lord obviously involved. But that, like what Lisa just said, there's got to be discussion. And you might think, well, it's so embarrassing to talk to my husband or my wife about this thing. You know what? I guarantee you, you won't be looking at a fantasy land to get ideas if you talk to one another and think about it for a moment in your own imagination, the heartthrob of, we're going to sit down and talk about it. I can't think of anything more exciting. We're gonna talk about it. Can you imagine? Well, just wait till you get home. We're gonna talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to get home.
That's a subject you will talk about.
Talk about it. Literally talk about it. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? How far too far in this? What about the other thing? And by the way, I think it's very, very important that you agree on.
Right.
You agree on. I think that's very important.
Yeah, to push a one in a direction, because men have been abused as well. I only talk to women, so I only hear about the women. But when abuse is in the picture, you know, of the past, that's obviously going to cause problems in a relationship. So if maybe your wife's never even told you that. Maybe she's just awkward, or you think she's a prude or whatever. She's never even shared that with you, and you are lacking that understanding of her. So try to pull that out so you can discuss it. And then let me tell you guys, if you have a wife like that, she needs to know that you love her unconditionally, that she's not just being used for your gratification. She needs to know that she's secure in her love with you. That's what women need. I know men have a different need, which I can't talk about, but because I don't know. You know what I mean. I do know, but I don't want to speak for a man. But on the women's part, it's that the man just needs to be patient with her, and you know. But that understanding is never going to take place without good communication.
Yeah, and I want to add something else too. Maybe a few things, Davey, if we have the time.
Go ahead.
We live in a culture that is disgusting to me. Now, you might say, well, that's because you're an old man. But you know what? I wish I knew what I know now back then when I was younger. Because the culture's diluted. And there are images and there are pictures and you know, Photoshop stuff that nobody can live up to. Nobody is ever going to look like that. It doesn't work. But you get this thing in your mind where I want a guy like that. I want a girl like that. You'll never be happy. And you'll never find her. You'll never find him. So we're allowing ourselves to be sold a bill of goods. And it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But to think, now men, look, you guys, there's the old saying, men are like dump trucks and girls are like cars or like race cars or like a Porsche. And I understand that. Where a man, and wives, you need to understand this. A man, there is a chemical drive that a man has, and there's an intimacy drive that a man has. And a woman has the same thing, but we're different. Mm-hmm. We are different. So there are things regarding the need of your husband where his chemical drive can be taken care of in 5 minutes versus his intimate drive. What you need to do is discuss things and find out, what is the reality of our intimacy? And it might be, well, you know what? We can be like this now to hold us over till tonight. Or we can be like this. Or we can be like that. You need to discuss these things. It relieves tons of pressure from people. Because ladies, maybe you know or do not know, but a man is wired in such a way, our chemistry is in such a way, we could be a rocket scientist, but we can't focus on being a rocket scientist because these levels have hit a point where I need to be with my wife. We have a friend, and no, I won't name any names. She's a pastor's wife, and she just says, and she was talking to her pastor's wife's get-together, and she says, ladies, just remember, we want to send our men off to their ministry safe and secure. And sometimes it means you just need to change the oil before they go. And I thought, man, that's crude and really accurate. And she's right. Well, listen, these are issues that you need to discuss. She might come back and say, well, you know what? I would be much more in the mood if you just kind of kissed the lobe of my ear before you went to work. Now, a guy's going to think, are you crazy?
Yeah.
But that's, listen, what'd you say, Lisa? You've always said this. You read a book one time by somebody that said, the book is, I think, Sex Begins in the Kitchen?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't read that book.
Men never read the books, right?
But, you know, listen, it's
well, for women, because the saying is, you know, they're like crock pots and they take slow. A while, you know. So that little book was referring to, you know, starting in the kitchen, kind of encouraging the kiss on the neck or whatever, instead of just men go to 0 to 60. You know, and they're ready to go, you know, and the wife is like, what, you know, and I've actually communicated that before. Wait a minute, you're like, you know, a mile ahead, take it, slow it down, you know. So that is just part of male and female differences. One's not right, one's not wrong. It's just how God created us.
It's funny though, because she's not thinking about it, right? She's not thinking about it. So she says, you go from 0 to 60. But I'm thinking, no, I've been really good. Yeah. I've been thinking about this for 12 hours.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. So it's like I went from 0 to 3 for 12 hours.
All right, you talked about the Lord being in the hallway. Don't leave the Lord out in the hallway.
Yeah.
But what about when there's little kids out in the hallway?
You leave them in the hallway.
Well, all right, fair enough. Obviously, when kids come into the picture, things change.
Oh, we used to lie our heads off with our kids.
Three words. Benadryl. No, I'm kidding.
No,
Benadryl. I'm kidding.
No, listen, Lisa and I would be cuddling, and there'd be a knock at the door, right? You hear these little feet come down the hallway, and there's a little knock and then a little scratch on the door. And what do you want? Well, what are you doing? How do they know to ask that question?
Yeah.
They don't ask, where are you? Or I'm hungry. They go, a little kid will go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And we'll say, listen, we just would say, look, we are.
Desperation mode.
It's worse, though. There are times when Christians can lie. And here it is. We are discussing what you're going to get for Christmas. If you stand at that door for one more moment, you'll get nothing for Christmas. And you'll hear.
Thank God.
Worked every time.
Yeah. Birthdays, Christmas.
That's genius. Yeah. All right, switching topics real quick. This one deals with when marriage goes wrong, dealing with divorce. If a person believes their spouse is cheating on them, should they press the issue and become their own private investigator to seek confirmation? I realize we're taking a large jump in subjects, but let's get in this. It's a good question.
I have an answer, but you start.
No, you go if you have a good answer.
I think you should do everything you can I'm talking in the context of being a Christian, godliness. You should do everything you can to protect your home.
Amen. Yeah.
Yep. So if you want to put it or coin it as, do I become a private detective? Yes. You monitor emails. You drive by the office. Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, as a pastor, I'm setting myself up for you to hear this. As a pastor, when a woman comes to me, or when a husband comes to me and says, you know what, I think my wife's cheating or my husband's cheating, I make it very clear to them. You find out everything you can. Do you have kids? Now, listen, if they have kids, then the intensity goes up 100-fold. You do everything you can to defend your home. And you go by her work, or you go by his work, you go by the phone, check it out, whatever, every avenue you can, you find out. You defend your home at all costs. You fight for it. People are too quick to give up these days. It's ridiculous. Now, look, when kids are involved most often, these are just the stats. Doesn't have to be. I thank God he's not limited to stats. But many times, I will be talking to a woman with kids whose husband has left her for somebody else. Okay, usually it's a younger version, a new model, right? And I'll ask her, number one thing mandated by Scripture is reconciliation. She might say to me, we've done all of that. We've done it all. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He wants an end of this. And as a pastor, I believe it's my biblical calling and right and mission to then turn to her and say, we will help you every way we can to put you in touch with the proper family defense attorneys, for example. If you believe that you have, and you're confident that you've exhausted every avenue of reconciliation, and you have kids involved, you must do everything you can to defend those children for the next 18 years. And I believe that a woman who's been violated and children who've been violated by a sexual immorality situation, and divorce is now inevitable. I believe that the weight falls upon her to be the mama bear, and I mean that literally. And that guy needs to pay for his actions, because I don't want her to grow up living in poverty on welfare, and the kids never see college or a wedding day. You know what I'm saying? All because of this guy couldn't keep himself together. No, not at all. Why? I don't believe that.
Yeah, and I think going back to the beginning of that, should you, I think part of that is to clarify that it is true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we've talked to people who are almost looking for a reason, you know, and a biblical one, to get out of a marriage. So if they can prove that this person was, they might be on a little witch hunt, but it also could prove yay or nay. I have talked to women who were doing that, and it's sad to me that they're having to check Facebook and email and texting and this and that, and they're having to drive around. It's so sad to me that they're put in that position in the first place. I'm sure men have had the same issue. It goes both ways. And it's horrible. I mean, it's so destructive that people look so lightly on marriage vows that they don't keep them no matter what. I mean, it's not about just us being happy. It's about you made this vow and you do your best that you can to do everything you can to make it work. And when he's saying inevitable, that a divorce is inevitable, that's that you have exhausted every mm-hmm. avenue of trying to reconcile. Some people have a hard time forgiving, can't move past that. Other people, I've seen some women forgive and forgive and forgive, and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, they have a lot more grace than maybe I would have had, and yet in the end, God was telling them to do that because their marriage turned around. So yeah. You never know. God can do, he's the great physician. He can fix all kinds of things, but sometimes, you know, someone's not repentful, it's never gonna change. They're gonna continue on a bad path.
There's a good segue here. Let me throw this question in. Should a couple that is contemplating divorce try a time of separation first?
Well, it depends. You know, that's a hard thing to answer right now, because there is a ton of things regarding this question that we don't know.
Yeah.
Is he or she violent? Are the children being abused in the situation? We don't know.
Yeah, if it's that, yes, but it's nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to separate. So I think people who do, it may be for peace. Okay, for a couple of days, if it has been so tense or whatever, and they went to a mom's house or a friend's house for a couple of nights. But these long separations, they usually never turn out. It's not like it's a trial divorce to see. It's like two people living together to see if they want to be married.
See how we can function apart from each other. Maybe it'll help us clear up our minds. I'll tell you what it's going to do. People are going to convince you. Believe me, you will talk to people while you're separated, and they will convince you to end it. Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that. What you want to do, look, in the context of Christianity, the Lord says, deal with this before the sun goes down. You say, yeah, but we didn't. Okay, we'll deal with it. There's another day. Mm-hmm. Deal with it before that sun goes down. Well, we didn't do that either. Well, if it takes all week, keep dealing with it until that sun goes down. Are you with me? When you move out, you're sending all kinds of messages that this is just about barely over. And you don't want to do that. You want to exhaust every opportunity.
This kind of breaks my heart as someone in this room asked this. I'm at my wit's end. My husband cheated with a woman at work. He said it's over, but they still work in the same department. He says, trust me, how should I handle this? Mm. Boy, that's a tough one, huh?
Well, he broke trust already. I mean, when you break trust, it takes a second to lose trust, and it takes a long path back to regain trust. And so many people that break the trust, I see them, they want it back immediately. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, well, just get out, you know, okay, I already said I was sorry. And that's not enough. It has to be earned back. And so I remember years ago, there was a couple that the husband did work with a woman, and it was supposedly was only an emotional affair, like nothing physical had happened. But I remember him telling him, and he worked very far away, to quit his job. that he shouldn't work there anymore. And they were like, you know, what am I going to do?
It was a very well-paying job on top of
Yeah, that. And he was out of work. I started feeling really bad. Like a year and a half went by, the guy didn't have a job. God provided for them, healed it to this day. That was probably 20 years ago. Uh-huh. They're still married. They still attend this church.
Happily
they
married.
Serve the Lord. Their kids have grown up. They love the Lord. I mean, amazing. He made a pretty strong statement to the guy. But I'm telling you, as a wife, that was a huge message, that nothing is more important than protecting this marriage, that he'd give up a job and, hey, if we got to eat beans, we got to eat beans. But at least we're together, and God's going to save this marriage.
We have to remember something here. This is, you guys, marriage is, first of all, a spiritual entity. If you don't think so, then you don't know marriage. It's designed by God, managed by God, and we're to consult God about it. And the vow commitments, the emotional commitments are sealed and confirmed in sexual union. All of it is spiritual, all of it. And when that's violated, in this case, for example, the violator that person has surrendered all demands. In other words, I violated her. I want the marriage to stay together, but I've broken trust with her. From that moment on now, I have no jurisdiction nor rights to dictate any of the healing process at all. The sinner never tells the Savior what to do. If you are truly repentful, the person that's repenting never has requirements. Okay, King David knew this, like, it was amazing. So if I say to her, Lisa, I violated our trust. If she says to me, I want you to stand on your head for 3 months and you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I will say, yes, ma'am. Look, if you don't like that, then you should have thought about that before you talked to the girl down the hallway. Mm-hmm. Second thing is this. I don't care how much you're being paid. I don't care how long it took you to get that job. Mm-hmm. Either she has to go or you have to go. But you cannot function in your job. I guarantee you. You cannot work at, you can't even pull up into the parking lot without thinking about her, because Satan will see to it. Every time you pull up, he will pull out his quiver, his arrow from his quiver, and he'll launch just her name into your head. It may not go any further than that. You may be doing very well, and you arrest her name and throw it out, but you might have to do that 10 times during the course of the day. It doesn't mean you love her. It doesn't mean you even like her anymore. In fact, you could hate her. The thing is, you handed the enemy armament, weaponry, and he's going to use it on you. And so you're gonna have a hard time in your job. You'll never prosper well in your job because you're constantly distracted. And so I counsel men in such a setting, you need to get out of that company.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Question and Answer with Jack and Lisa, Part 3. Thanks for listening to today's segment. And with any problem that arises in marriage, and in life for that matter, we are to seek God's wisdom and extend grace in all that we do. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that you can get the entire DVD set of the Real Marriage series for a gift of any amount to this ministry? The Real Marriage DVD set is a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a healthy, God-honoring marriage. Get yours today by getting a hold of us through our website. Here's the web address, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.